I think it's kind of telling, this quote, God gave us mouths that close, ears that don't, and that must tell us something. Today we're going to talk about deep listening, and we're going to talk about honest speaking. Where we are is we've been in a series now for 2 months looking at these core values that our leadership team has identified for us as a church, about not only who we claim to be in Christ, but who we are hoping to become. So some of these are descriptive and others of these are aspirational. We've been talking last week, for example, Reverend Byron preached about welcoming openly. What's it mean to be a congregation that welcomes openly? What's it mean to be a place where we encourage each other warmly? And we started back in June talking about worshiping authentically and praying constantly. And Reverend Carissa preached about what's it mean to give generously of ourselves and our gifts. So today we find ourselves at a place of listening and speaking. Listening deeply and speaking honestly. Now, the texts of Scripture are not even. There are texts of Scripture where you have to really dive in and dig and sort out to try to find their meaning. There are texts like that in the Old Testament, for example, where you have to learn the context of the historical moment to have the text make any sense. Or you might find yourself wading in Paul's theology at some point where he goes on and on and on, these long, long sentences and all of these concepts of grace and forgiveness and reconciliation, and you have to sort of unpack it bit by bit by bit to make sense of that. And then there's the book of James. The book of James, which almost didn't make it into the Bible. It was one of the contested books when they were creating the canon of the Bible. And even at the Reformation, Martin Luther wanted to throw it out. He called it an epistle of straw. Wasn't enough Jesus in there for him. But I have always loved the earthiness of James, the practicality of James. James may not go into the whole theology about Jesus and the gospel, but James does talk about, again and again, practically speaking, what does it mean to live in Christian community? What does it mean to live as a follower of Jesus? And so James is the one famously who tells us that you can't say you have faith and then not go out and live that faith. Faith without works, he says, is what? It's dead. You show me your faith, and I, by my works, will show you my faith, right? You show me. So these things go hand in hand. And so there's this practical nature to James. And if you only had the opening part of this text, just verse 19, you must understand this, my beloved. Let everyone be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to anger. If we could just live that much, how different our lives would be. Because many of us are quick to speak and quick to anger, and our listening skills are impaired, or we skip that part too easily. James seems to be suggesting that if we don't spend the proper amount of time, if we don't first engage ourselves in listening, it's a slippery slope that we are on. We then jump to conclusions, or we make assumptions about someone, and our anger gets riled up inside of us, and it never pleases God. Now, in Ephesians, which is a little bit more theological meat, so to speak, even here, this is one of Paul's down-to-earth kind of statements that he makes. But speaking the truth in love, speaking the truth in love, we must grow up in every way. Which is to say, he goes on to talk about this being an act of maturity in the body of Christ, that we grow together in love when we speak to one another honestly. Not just speaking the truth at each other, but speaking with one another in love. And what a powerful thing that is. And what a hard thing that is. And I want to just talk for a few moments today about what it means to listen deeply and to speak honestly in love to one another. Now, listening takes patience and it takes time, which is partly why we're not always good at it, right? Let's be honest. It takes patience and it takes time, and we are always moving on to the next thing. We are really good sometimes at giving our children half our attention because we've got other stuff to do, or our colleagues, or our spouses. It takes patience and time to really listen. It takes a lot of intentional presence to be able to do that. I've been reading Sherry Turkle. She is a sociologist and a clinical psychologist. She's been doing a lot of research about how our communication patterns with each other are changing in the digital age. They just simply are, right? So many of us communicate this way. We text and we get messages via Facebook and we email one another. There's a lot of electronic communication that goes on in our lives every single day. And the irony, she points out, is that while we may be more electronically connected than ever before, and while we may chat and text and talk to each other a lot, she says we are losing the ability to be in real conversation with each other, which she says is the most human thing that we do. It's human and humanizing to be in conversation. Fully present to one another, we learn to listen. Being fully present to one another, we learn to listen. It's where we experience the joy of being heard, of being understood. But these days, we find ways around conversation. We hide from each other even as we are constantly connected to each other. We are forever elsewhere. Have you ever been in a group of in a room with a group of teenagers? And I observe this a lot. Lee probably sees this once in a while, where they're there together, and every single one of them is on their device, and they're talking with each other from time to time. Now, I'm not going to just pick on teenagers. I've been in a room with adults where the same thing happens. Well, we're all present together, but we're not really fully there. She goes on to talk about in some of her writing about how we get bored, and when we get bored, she says, whether it's at church, oh, she's getting close to home there, or whether it's at a meeting or whether it's at a group, we just check out and we look for something more interesting. Right? There's even this thing I learned about. It's called fubbing. Do anyone know what fubbing is? I did not know what that was. Fubbing is the ability to continue texting while looking somebody in the eye. And teenagers say, her students will tell her, that's pretty common and it's not that hard to learn. That you just continue to text and you look like you're still engaged, but you're not really there. What a gift it is to be really listen to someone. What a gift it is to take the time and have the patience to allow somebody's story, to allow somebody's thoughts, to allow somebody's heart to unfold. And sometimes, let's confess, we are just too busy and moving on to the next thing. Now, honest speaking, the other side of the coin, the ability to speak in love, to speak the truth in love, it takes courage and trust. It takes courage because I might say something that you don't agree with. I might say something that makes us sort of on different sides of an issue. I was just in Minneapolis for Holly's aunt's memorial service this week, and we were actually in the heart of Minnesota, out in farmland. And let's just say that most of Holly's family is on one side politically, and we find ourselves on another side politically. And so we don't talk about stuff like that. It takes courage to talk about stuff like that, and it takes trust. And we just didn't go there this week. Some of you are nodding your heads. You know what that's like. To be able to speak across difference when you know that what you say might be taken the wrong way or may put you in a certain group or something like that, it takes courage to sometimes speak up. And it takes trust that the relationship is strong enough that you can still listen to each other and love each other even if you don't agree on everything. And I think the church ought to be a place where we trust each other and where we have the courage to speak truth in love to one another. That's what I try to do as your pastor. I don't ever want to come across to you as I have the only take on God or I have the only way to truth. I will speak the truth as I understand it, as God has revealed it to me, but not ever at you, always trying to be with you in that conversation and give you room to speak back. I have people who come talk with me about things that they really disagree about or disagree theologically with me about, and I welcome those conversations. I want to hear what somebody has to say, even as I share my heart. And we may not come to the same place in the end, but if we can come to love each other more deeply or understand each other more deeply, that's a good thing. Deep listening and honest speaking, these things have the potential and the capacity to give us a way across our differences. They have a way of helping us understand each other, to empathize with one another. If we never talk to each other and just make assumptions about each other, or only talk to people who think like us or look like us or are economically privileged like us or have the same skin color as us or have the same sexual orientation as us, whatever it is, fill in the blank. If we only group people in certain ways and we don't ever dare and risk speaking across our difference, we're going to probably stay very far apart. And one of the things that Christ offers us, one of the things the Christian community offers us, is a place of trust and love where we can talk to each other, be in sacred conversation with us. The United Methodist Church is in a lot of sacred conversations right now, trying to find a way forward, the committee on the way forward. We're trying to have conversations around race right now that are hard conversations to have, but important conversations to have. When you talk, you are only repeating what you already know, but if you listen, you may learn something new. I love that. If I take the time to listen to you, you may teach me. And if you take the time to listen to me, instead of just formulating your response, instead of just trying to convince me that I'm wrong, then maybe you'll learn something in return. If you listen, you have the chance to learn and to grow. How many of you are familiar with the StoryCorps project? Anybody? It's been around now since the early 2000s. Ah, I'm introducing you to something really good. This link's going to be on our website this week. I would encourage you to dig into this. Listening is an Act of Love is the name of a book that grew out of the StoryCorps project, started in 2003 by Bob Isay. Been in radio for a long time. He claims that the genesis of this came from an experience he had as a child. And his grandmother had been a survivor of the Holocaust. And one time they were together for their holidays. This was when he was 11 years old. He got out his recorder, his tape recorder, and he wanted to hear her stories. And so he just asked her to tell her stories. And then he interviewed, as an 11-year-old, he interviewed his grandfather and his uncle and all these people. And the sad part is he can't find this tape to this day. You know, but he remembers vividly doing that, and that became the genesis for this project. Now, this project is not about journalists going out and interviewing people. What they would do is they would set up what were called listening tents or booths in very public places, like the mall down in Washington, D.C., or Central Park up in New York City, or out in the West Coast somewhere, or in a small town. They would announce that they were setting up these listening booths and with all the recording equipment there, and you could bring someone that you wanted to interview. And often it was a grandchild interviewing a grandparent, or it was a husband and wife interviewing each other and telling their story of love and their unlikely story of how they came together, or it was two neighbors or friends. And so there's this whole collection of stories that have gathered over these last now 14 years. And at the 10-year anniversary, this book was published. Listening is an Act of Love. The basic premise is that when we listen to each other, we are saying to the other person, you matter. Your story matters. You will be heard and you will be valued. And one of the greatest gifts that we can offer each other is the time. Just the time. Be quick to listen. Take the time to listen. Give yourself over to your family and your friends and the stranger and listen. And maybe you'll hear God's grace sneaking in the back door. These stories are powerful, and I've cried at more than one of these stories because of the ways of finding God's love in the world. And I would encourage you to look this up. We'll have the link on the website. It was Paul Tillich, the 20th century theologian, who said, the first duty of love is to listen. The first duty. Sometimes we think of love as this active, we have to go out there and feed and clothe, and we do have or are called to do all those things. But Tillich said the starting point, where we begin loving our neighbor, is listening. And Maddie shared with us early in her witness about those relationships that formed, first with a young woman who was struggling to find or re-find her faith, and then with another woman who shared this passion for social justice, and they connected on that level. And those relationships formed and those faith lives were deepened because of Maddie's ability to first listen, to ask the questions, to get engaged. Now, friends, my guess is that you will have 100 chances this week, at least, to listen to someone, whether it be your spouse or your colleague or a friend or a stranger who just engages you in conversation. And you can do this. You can say, and you can keep your head buried and make it clear that you don't want to stop and listen. Or you can fub, right? You can pretend and look them in the eye while you're still texting someone. Or you can take the time and speak generously in love and listen deeply to what they have to say. We have a God who listens to us whenever we turn to God and pray. We have a God whose story includes all of us. And we have a God who says, your story is pretty sacred too. Tell me about it. And why don't you tell each other about it? And if we could be a church where we listen to each other deeply, first, before we speak quickly, then I think we'd be living in this way of love and, as Paul says, growing up in faith. Speaking the truth in love, listening deeply, listening for the voice of God in the middle of it all. Thanks be to God. Amen.